Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
We're going to read our opening scripture this morning, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Are you ready? Why don't we read it together? Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price, so glorify God with your body. Everyone say, my body. Look at the person beside you and say, your body. Look at the person on the other side and say, your body. Now let's pray together. Put your hand on your chest. Say, my body is a temple. God, teach me how to use my body, all of me, to honor you, to love people, and to image you well. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. Well, we are starting the new year, as we typically do, with a new series called Recalibrate. If you have not heard that word, you might be thinking, what in the world does recalibrate mean? My husband will give a few more detailed explanations in a couple weeks, but the simple version is recalibrating is simply making small adjustments so something works properly. We won't get into all of the details of that. But this whole series is about recalibrating. And the tag on this is the body teaches the soul, which if you are interested in your, if you're taking notes on the app, there's a whole bunch of resource links at the end of the notes that you can access. We have a few of these for purchase after the service at the counter there. It's the book called The Body Teaches the Soul, Essential Habits to Form a Healthy and Holy Life. Spiritual practices, habits of formation to help us form a healthy and holy life. We want to recalibrate our lives for a healthy and holy life. Often in January, we feel it, don't we? Christmas and New Year's catches up, and all of a sudden, it's just like, oh, I need to make some changes. Or maybe other things have happened over the year. You're like, I need to make some changes. There's something about a physical start of the year that kind of turns that thing on inside of us. Now, if it doesn't for you, that's totally fine. But we're going to be in this over the next several weeks. We are going to be looking at some new ways of thinking and understanding and actually engaging with different habits of formation for a whole healthy and holy life. Can you say that? Healthy and holy life. So over the next few weeks, we'll be very practical. Today, I'm going to lay foundation. Okay, so I'm going to get all of the kind of the nitty-gritty stuff out of the way. So over the next few weeks, as the team, as we're looking at some of these different areas, some of the different types of habits of formation, they'll be able to just jump in, and they'll be way more practical than today. So just hang on, all right? Can you hang on? Awesome. All right, so I want to look at three foundational truths to help us recalibrate. And the first one is, number one, you are a spiritual body. You are a spiritual body. Number two, you were born into one type of life, but you need two types of life to actually live. And number three, your body teaches your soul. So let's start. Number one, you are a spiritual body. We're going to go back to Genesis because that's where you go at the beginning of the year. Go back to the beginning of the Bible, the story. And we're going to look at a verse that sometimes we just kind of read through it and we don't actually put the right lens on what's actually being said, what's being revealed through the creation story. And actually, this particular verse, what's being revealed to us about who we actually are. You might have some funky ideas about who you are. Genesis 2:7. And some might say, well, why are there like two separate accounts of like God, like we had God making man in Genesis 1 and then Genesis 2, there's God making man. Is he making a second man? Well, some scholars say maybe. It's kind of weird, but there's a whole different purpose for Genesis chapter 2. It's kind of like a retelling of the creation story with a zoom in on some specific things that God wanted to highlight about his story. So Genesis 2:7 says, then the Lord God formed man out of the dust. Everyone say, I am dirt. Dust from the ground and breathed the breath of life. Can you say breath of life? Into his nostrils, and man became a... Say, I am dust, breath, and a living being. You are an amazing combination of physical and spiritual. But we have funky ideas in our mind about what this means. Some of these ideas come from Hollywood that has no clue about life in general. We'll just say it that way. But also a world around us that has been formed in ways of understanding about who we are as persons that's actually not biblical. It's more from the ancient philosophers and their understanding about the part of our inner person that is really intangible and kind of weird. But contrary to what you maybe have believed because of teaching, maybe through science or psychology or other teaching, God, or maybe even in the church, because there's a long time the church has had a funky idea about this as well. God did not make a body to put a soul into it. Soul is the whole creature, body and spirit, of who you are. Everyone say soul, body and spirit. Man became a living being. And that word for being, it's a Hebrew word, nefesh, which unfortunately in our English, when we try to translate it, it loses it. We would translate it soul, but our idea of soul needs some adjusting. But man became a living nefesh when? After God took what? Dust. And then he did what? Breathe his life into it. And it became a living soul, a living being, a living nefesh. Now, when it comes to this body-spirit existence, how we do life, usually we swing to one of two extremes. The first one, and this is where the church is so guilty, is elevating spirit and devaluing the body. This is not biblical. In a few weeks, we're going to look at one of those verses that, what about that verse that says, physical exercise is okay, but, your spirit, Paul's talking about, you're exercising or you're building up your spirit. What is he talking about that? We're going to jump into what he's actually meaning there, because it ain't what you think it was meaning. But we elevate the spirit and we devalue the body. You may have even just heard, you're just a soul trapped in a body. That's not true. It's not biblical. It's actually an early way of, it's kind of like it was a quasi-religion or more like a philosophy called Gnosticism that devalued. The Gnostics believed that your body was just a, you believed that you were just a soul trapped in your body. And so anything of matter, anything of the physical world, Gnostics, they devalued it. It was all about achieving this thing of being released from your body when you die. But this isn't the Bible story. The body isn't a thing to escape. It's not a thing to put up with. And when we think the body is not important, especially as Christians, what we do is we miss out on a whole bunch of habits that are actually necessary for forming us, our soul, our nefesh. All of us, we miss out on spirit, on practices that support our spiritual growth. It takes more than just prayer and reading your Bible to grow your inner man. Did you know that? Now, the flip side of that is sometimes the other swing to the other way is we idolize the body and we devalue the spirit. And this is where we look at the body like a machine, and we kind of treat it like a machine, and, you know, we to control it, to build, to beautify, to biohack it as a way to fill an emptiness in our soul. So neither extreme is good. I love what C.S. Lewis said. He made such a profound statement. He said, it's no use trying to be more spiritual than God. So let that set for a moment. There's no use trying to be more spiritual than God. What does he mean by that? The pinnacle of the Bible story is God coming in flesh and blood, the incarnation, God fully God spirit, coming in a man body, human body, fully man, 100% God, 100% man, who lived, who died, and who rose again, not as a soul, but in a body. He ate. Why were there so many wild stories after Jesus rose? Put your hand in the holes in my hands and put your hand in the hole in my side and he give me some fish. I'm going to eat it. He was emphasizing your body is so important. The more, see, true theology, in other words, when we talk, that word theology simply means what we think and what we how we talk about God. True theology keeps body and spirit together. See, if the spirit leaves my, if my spirit leaves my body, what happens? I'm called dead. Yes. And when we try to separate spirit and body, what do you get? Death. Have you ever wondered why you might call yourself a Christian, but you feel, if you were honest, maybe dead inside? The more we know about our bodies, the better we can honor God in them and image his love. So number one, you are a spiritual body. Number two, you were born into one type of life, but you need two types of life to truly live. Now in the New Testament, in the original language in Greek, there were two words that describe life. One was bios life, one was zoe life. And they were very different. Bios life is what you were born into. It's the creaturely life. It's that physical, it's that thing that you were born into. It's human existence. It's not just the physical part of you. It kind of is, but there's a bit more to it. But this bios life, it's, we were born as creatures. We can move. We're alive. We got breath. But Scripture also tells us we're walking dead people. Look at the person beside you and say, you look pretty good for a dead person. I just have you do that so I can get a drink. Some of you are like, I hate when you do that. I feel like I'm a robot. It's just like, get over it. I need a drink. It's actually doing something good in your body. We'll get into that. Look at Ephesians 2. Paul was writing. He was saying, he said, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you previously walking dead. According to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient. So now I want to be clear. It's not exactly clear what happened. We just know something happened at the fall of humanity in Genesis chapter 3 when the first humans decided to believe a lie and choose life a different way than through God's life directly coming to them. That created a fall. And this wasn't simply a physical death. Why? Because they kept going, they were alive. They didn't instantly die. In fact, I mean, Adam went on to live for like 900 some years. That is not dead man. So we know something happened in the fall, but we don't know exactly what, because it wasn't just a physical death, but it was a kind of death where you could be physically alive, but a part of you is dead. And that is a mystery. Paul wasn't just using metaphor here. He sort of was, but he was revealing a deeper spiritual understanding, a mystery that couldn't be explained scientifically. And some of our misunderstanding of Scripture is we are products of the Enlightenment that wants to dissect everything down and break it apart to get to the reason and why specifically this works. And when you take the spirit of something, what do you get? You're dead. And dead religion has caused so much heartache and pain on the planet. So you can be physically alive, but a part of you is dead. This is a mystery. But the good news is, this is what Jesus changed. This is part of why God came in the flesh, why Jesus being fully God, fully man was so important. Paul goes on in chapter in Ephesians 2 in verse 4, he says, but God, everyone say, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were in trespasses. You are saved by grace. When did God make you alive with Christ? When Jesus rose from the dead. Now that doesn't mean you are living in that life. You still need to, by faith, receive it. Or you could go to your grave, a walking dead person missing out on true life, your whole existence on this planet. See, being made alive with Christ is a different type of life. It's called Zoe life, eternal life, life that originates in God and can only be received in faith through Jesus Christ and what he has done. 1 John 5 explores this more. He says, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. He's given us eternal Zoe. And this Zoe is in his Son. The one who has the Son has life, has Zoe. The one who does not have the Son of God does not have Zoe. And Zoe, if you're in the room, I'm so sorry. That's probably sure that was weird. Actually, we have two Zoes. So just because you're physically alive doesn't mean you have true life in order to be fully human. You bios to be fully human. You need bios and you need Zoe life. You're born physically. This is what Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And Nicodemus was kind of freaked out. He was like, Jesus was like, if you must be born again. And Nicodemus is like, what? I got to go back in my mom's womb? Like, oh, that's kind of weird. How does that work? All Nicodemus understood was bios life. He didn't understand this Zoe life that originates in God and only comes through Jesus Christ. You can't work your way into it. You can't discipline yourself into the Zoe life. It is a gift you receive in faith through Jesus Christ by simply saying, Jesus, I want the life that you got. Bios and Zoe, body and spirit breath. See, this is what Jesus came to restore in us. Forgiveness of sins is just, that's the tip of the iceberg. Jesus came to restore an integrated body, spirit kind of life so that you could be fully human. A living being. A living nephesh. And this is why John 20, when Jesus, his resurrection, when he met the disciples, what was the first thing he did? It says in John 20, 22, Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. This was a picture of what God had done back in Genesis 2. This whole picture, what John is showing, is that there has been a whole new Genesis. There's been a whole new creation. God has started a brand new way of doing life. We aren't fully there yet, but someday Jesus is going to return and we will live in the fullness of that. But in the meantime, we get to have Zoe life now. And see, when Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit, that literally means receive the holy breath. That's what that word spirit, when you see it, it's pneuma, it means breath. Receive my breath. The breath of God coming into human body once again. That had never happened up until that moment. And this is what salvation in Jesus Christ is all about. See, apart from receiving Zoe life, you are a walking dead person. But simply receiving this life doesn't mean we know how to live it. And anyone who has been a Jesus follower for any length of time, like 24 hours, you fully understand this. True? Isn't that true? See, if we've been made alive with Christ, why do we still struggle with uncontrolled anger? I'll punch you. Why do we still struggle with anxiety, depression? Addiction, lust, apathy, laziness, chronic workaholism, striving, loneliness. Why do we still struggle to feel I don't fit in? Why do we have a past that won't let go? Why are we seeking comfort in food, porn, and shopping? See, these are not just soul issues. You are a spiritual body. And your body has learned to respond to life in broken and destructive ways. And this is why you can go for counseling till you're blue in the face and still maybe find yourself struggling. Why is that? Because we're living maybe a disintegrated life. I'm just focused on my spirit. But we miss out that there are very important body practices to integrate so we can actually walk in that fullness of life. We need to learn how to put on this new Zoe life we've been given. And the Zoe life is an integrated body-spirit type of life. And we need practices and habits of spirit and body. Can you say and body? And body. See, I'm going to get another drink. One more time. And body. Thank you. And this last one, this leads us into number three. Your body teaches your soul. Your body teaches your soul. And we need to recalibrate our lives that have been accustomed to living by bios impulses. In other words, when I'm hungry, what do? You eat. Whatever's in front of you, whether it's good for you or not. When you're angry, punch it. Or keep it inside, and then you're depressed. When we're bored, what do? Entertain ourselves. Tune out. When I'm hurt, bios impulse. I withdraw, I protect. I got this one friend in my life, but don't need any more. When we feel lust, what do? Indulge, because that's what we've been told. Don't deny those animal impulses. When we have a desire, what do? We buy it. When we're fearful, what do? We run. And this is where habits of formation come in. And we're going to look at things a little bit differently over the next several weeks. Now, a common term that you've heard around here that we use, we probably will still use in some way, shape, or form because it's described what we've been doing for so long, is a common term to describe these habits of formation are spiritual practices. Which, it's spiritual practices are the way that we cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit who is working to transform us after we have received the Zoe life, this new life of Jesus Christ. We don't just automatically become good people, and you kind of know that, yes? And so these practices are ways that we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. They don't make God love us anymore. We aren't showing God we love him and we're serious. It's ways of forming us. It's ways of cooperating with the Holy Spirit. The one challenge, though, with this term spiritual practice is we end up by default thinking we emphasize the spirit and we devalue the body. So just for the sake of clarity, it is not wrong. You're not going to be considered a bad person, a bad Christian. You didn't learn anything if you continue to use the word spiritual practices. I'm just making a point so we understand when we talk about this term, we are not talking about just emphasizing the spirit. We are talking about practices that engage your body and the importance of those practices to engage your body. Because habits, like we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks, even one this morning, I will hopefully finish in a few minutes and we'll practice. It might seem that it's engaging more of our body, but you need to know it is impacting your inner person. It's impacting your soul, and it will help your spiritual life grow. Formation habits help us recalibrate from bios-driven instincts to Zoe-shaped lives. I'm going to say that again. Formation habits, they help to recalibrate us from bios-shaped, in other words, human and flesh-shaped instincts to Zoe-shaped lives. Ephesians 4, Paul, he says in chapter 4, verse 22, he says, take off your former way of life, the old self that's corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on, can you say put on? Put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness and righteousness and purity of the truth. And so these spiritual practices or habits of formation, these aren't about making us better people. They are about becoming fully alive and learning how to live in the new life of Jesus Christ that you have maybe received if you are a follower of Jesus. Now, if you've never received that life, if you've never said yes to being a follower of Jesus, not just prayed some prayer at an altar call at a camp somewhere and gone about your merry life. I mean, a life that is completely surrendered to Jesus. Jesus, I don't want to just live my own way anymore. I want to live, and I'm committing to live in new habits that are going to allow that life to fully form in me. See, that's what it means to be fully alive. Humans, once again, drawing life from union with God, not just through our own spirit, but through our body. Back to the verse we read at the beginning, 1 Corinthians. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. What we do with our body impacts our inner man. Our body teaches our soul. See, a body that is fatigued, improperly nourished, you might really bug you as much as Mike and I talk about eating right and working out and doing what's right. But that's because, and I don't say this pridefully, I say it because we have both come through very painful, very personal experiences where we know what happens when you live a disintegrated life, or you try to. I know what it's like to struggle for a long period of time with depression and anxiety. But it didn't get fixed in me because I prayed more. I was doing all that, and that was the problem. I was living a disintegrated life. I did not care for my body in the way that it needed to be cared for. A fatigued, improperly nourished, chronically overworked, chemically stimulated, tech stimulated body that will shape how you pray, how you worship, how you think, how you do community or you don't, how you relate to people, how you resist temptation. The body teaches the soul. I'll say it one more time. There is only one way to be renewed in the inner man, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is a grace of God. It is not anything that we achieve on our own. It is a grace of God. We are made alive, but we need to learn how to live that Zoe life. The extent, though, God is the one that does the work of transformation, but the extent that transformation actually takes place in us hinges on how we cooperate with the Spirit, what we do with our body, and your body is a vital part of discipleship. Developing habits that support a clear mind. Developing habits that support emotional steadiness. Developing habits of relational presence, vocational endurance, and consistent worship. The body teaches the soul. Like I said, over the next few weeks, we're going to be going over all sorts of different kinds of habits that do involve your body. And there's one today I want to give you two. There's more details. I'm going to go through it quick. But when Jesus, when he breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit, this is a first practice, and it has to do with your breath. Now, before you go all freaky and super weird spiritual thinking, oh, don't do all that breath stuff, that's yoga and that's meditation. You know what? Your body needs breath. Just try holding it for 15 minutes. The problem is, we are driven by anxiety and fear and the wrong kind of stimulations in our environment that have messed up our physical breath and have resulted in a breakdown between how God made you to function. You need, when anxiety hits, when depression tries to hit, especially when anxiety is, when your mind starts racing, you know what you need? You need four big box breaths. A count of four where you are breathing in slowly. You are intentional. You're breathing in at a count of one, two, three, four, and hold it. And then exhale slowly. One, two, three, four. Your body, your brain physically needs that to shut off anxiety. And you need to do that four times before physically your body, your parasympathetic nerve shifts into another group. But even more than that, you know what that does? It reminds me that God is my life. Your body needs that breath. Your anxiety, you might just need to learn how to breathe right. There's specific instructions in the notes. I encourage you, if you don't usually follow along in that, there's more details in there. Another practice is what's called breath prayers. And this is ancient church. This is early church. They would practice this to a count of, they would pray in, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, when I inhale, I'm not just inhaling something physical. See, science had told us we're just a body. It's just an action. It's not really important. Actually, no. If I am body and spirit, this is actually an extremely important practice, a habit. And these breath prayers, as much as I need to inhale a breath physically, I need to inhale the life of God. And that's one way to remind me that my life is not my own. And exhaling, you know what? I need to exhale with all of the CO2 in my body. If you have a buildup of CO2, you will not be healthy. But I also need to release all of the toxic CO2 from unforgiveness and bitterness and fear and anxiety and resentment and trying to think I am the savior of the world. I want you to stand. I want you to close your eyes. We're going to take just a little bit more here. And I want you to practice. When we're breathing in, this is not just a mechanical habit, but it's a way to remind ourselves, God, your holy breath, I need your breath in my lungs. God, we breathe in your life. God, we hold on to that life, your life. Concerned and worried and anxious about. God, we breathe in the reality that we are made in your image. And we hold on to that, how much you love us. And God, we exhale the fears of not being enough. Inhale the new creation life that you've given us in Jesus. And God, we exhale our disobedient, fleshly, selfish desires. And God, at the beginning of a new year, we inhale hope. Your breath of life reviving us. And Jesus, we hold on to the hope that we have in you. And we exhale all the fears and anxieties that would try to keep us trapped in the brokenness. Lead us in a prayer, church, a prayer of just of saying, I want this Zoe life. And if you have never said yes to receiving life through Jesus Christ, this is how we say, Jesus, let's pray this together. Just say, Jesus, thank you for coming to earth to restore me, body, spirit, so that I could be a living soul. Jesus, thank you. For life, I surrender. I leave behind the old life, and I say yes to following you from this day forward. In your name, amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.